Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. There's an awful lot of news out there, an awful lot of information, and most of it's very, very scary. And most of it will dislodge fillings from your teeth if you look into them too intensely. So we like to look at a little bit of the lighter side here, man. It's very important. I think so anyway. I could be wrong. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and co-partner over at RealGorillaMedia.com as well. And she's got some very scary articles for us that we're going to laugh about. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Scary article number one. Something about heavy metal poisoning?
Yeah. Five cosmetic products that will give you heavy metals poisoning. And so there was a study at UC Berkeley. Researchers found that toxic chemicals added to lipstick, such as cadmium, is linked to renal failure. Now, a toxicologist for the Personal Care Products Council, which is a trade group for the cosmetics industry, kind of like a lobby, she claims, her name is Linda Loretz, she says that there's nothing that is unsafe or to be unexpected, that the FDA approves titanium and aluminum as ingredients, and that certain metals are necessary for good nutrition. However, the metals that they're putting into these products, and it's not just lipstick, folks. It's also hair dye, whitening toothpaste, eyeliner, nail color. They're putting lead, arsenic, mercury, aluminum, zinc, chromium, and iron, just for a few. And all you would need is to apply lipstick twice a day to your lips to receive one-fifth of the daily acceptable dose of heavy metals. Stop wearing makeup, folks. Just stop. Stop wearing it. You don't need it. It's false advertising.
Now, think about this as well. You say putting lipstick on is like a fifth of your daily. So think about this. She also going to be putting on her blush, eyeliner.
Foundation.
Uh-huh. So that's...
mascara.
That's taken it up to 100%, 120% threshold, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it's only just doing it once a day.
Yes. Yeah,
if there's any touch-ups and stuff like that, got to go into powder your nose at the, I don't know, at the movie bathroom or something like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. After dinner, you reapply your makeup. Some of the more famous names who are poisoning their customers are Laura Mercer and MAC, L'Oreal, Mary Kay, and Sephora. These products contain mercury, arsenic, barium, cadmium, nickel, lead, selenium, and thallium. And it's also the hair dye. Hair dye contains massive amounts of lead. So, you know, don't get so upset. Now, if you don't care, you'll come down with cancer, reproductive disorders, neurological problems, memory loss, mood swings, and dermatitis.
Heavy metal poisoning can manifest as a lot of different things, and that's why it's very difficult to isolate it when where it's all coming from. Maybe that's why people haven't cottoned on quite so soon.
And it's also cumulative. So you think about it, like a 14-year-old or 12-year-old will start wearing lip gloss and nail polish and then go throughout their entire life painting their face and putting... And it's not just the makeup, it's the products, it's the... all of those... microbeads that clean your face, that exfoliate, which means clean. Those are full of parabens. And when they do biopsies of breast cancer tumors, they are 99% paraben. And these products are now being geared toward men, too. And men are coming down with breast cancer, and they're finding parabens in those tumors as well. And it's throughout a lifetime. So by the time you're in your 40s or 50s and you have cancer, you don't think that, hey, wait a minute, it was that blood red lipstick that I like to wear.
Yeah. Men don't wear the blood red lipstick. I implore you. It's not worth it.
Sometimes they do.
Well, overall, think about the constant saturation, because it's not just these products that are coming out from major companies to keep us looking pretty and at our best that we're saturated by and absorbing heavy metals from every day. It's in the water, it's in the food,
mm-hmm.
it's in the air from all the cars and everything driving around, man.
The chemtrails.
Yeah. You know, even chemtrails aside, we're just bathing in toxic heavy metals. And you have a look at the charts and statistics, I'm sure, you know, you see massive, massive spikes of all these mental disorders and mm-hmm. obesity. Obesity is one of the other interesting things. It's a side effect of heavy metal poisoning as well.
And it's in some of your supplements that you take. I've said it before and I'll say it here again. If you are taking tangy tangerine, it contains about 95% of it is radioactive material, including some of the materials that they make nuclear rods that they use in nuclear power plants. And yes, it is natural. You dig it out of the ground, of course. But are you going to, you know, do you want to drink a cup of arsenic or anything radioactive? Absolutely not. You're not going to purposefully do that. So why would you unintentionally do it?
You're talking about specifically chromium, right?
Yeah, thallium. Oh gosh, I can't remember. It starts with a T. I have, if anybody's interested who's listening, email me at occupycorporatism@gmail.com, and I have a PDF document that my husband and I did on tangy tangerine, and we went through all of the studies. We went through the list of ingredients and looked up all of the studies to see what these ingredients do, and at least 95% of it was all radioactive heavy metals poisoning, and it's just terrible.
That's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it interesting that the things that you take to keep yourself healthy and looking pretty are the things that are going to destroy your health and make you look ugly?
Well, that's the point I'm making, Harry. Our natural beauty has been taken away from us. We've been told that we're not pretty or not acceptable if we don't have all of these products and don't take care of this. There are natural ways to look attractive that we don't adhere to. We don't exercise and spend time out in the sun. We lather ourselves up I'm having a senior moment.
just take a minute. A few breaths. Something about lathering ourselves.
Is that stuff that you put on your skin when you're out in the sun?
Sunscreen.
Sunscreen, thank you. They found that that actually causes skin cancer.
Well, yeah, they got very, very tiny aluminium particles and things of that nature in the stuff that breaches the skin barrier. Your pores aren't small enough to keep them out of your body.
Right, and they've also found that it creates a barrier against your skin, so you can't absorb the vitamin D. And the best way to get vitamin D is spend at least 30 minutes out in direct sunlight. And it'll improve your mental health, and it'll improve your physical health. That's all you need.
Oh, if everything, vitamin D deficiency causes so many problems. My mate Barry, he's got these sort of welts, like these sores that were popping up all over his legs. And I went to the doctor. Doctor wanted to give him steroid cream. He's like, nah, bro. And then he goes to the naturopath. Naturopath instantly, vitamin D deficiency. You know, your body's not got the ability to heal these sores up and things like that. Your immune system's dying, mate. You need to be out in the sun.
Right. My son just had the sniffles. Was sneezing yesterday. We immediately got some oranges and some apples and put him out in the sun and went to play. And he's fine today. We gave him a little bit of echinacea with some golden seal, but other than that, he's absolutely fine today.
I prefer lemons. I remember this one time I thought they had the flu coming on, you know, when you start getting that real scratchy throat and you know that tomorrow's going to be a real bad day. I had three lemons and three glasses of water. Woke up and I was fine.
Yeah, my mother always gave me herbal tea with lemon and honey.
Also, at the meeting houses here in New Zealand with the Māori, the big marais that they've got, they always serve lemon water.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's all I drink when I go to the restaurant. I just order water. But I know that it's not, you know, unfluoridated water. So, but
yeah, well, you can't win them all. See, again,
right.
Have you noticed some people get sort of puritanical about, I understand the mentality, how they don't want any heavy metals of any kind. And they're always telling other people about these things that are in the food and why you shouldn't eat this and why you shouldn't drink that and so on and so forth. I'm of the opinion that, you know the poison, but just drink it anyway, bro. You know, the life's got a whole of a lot of things to worry about. And as long as you know to avoid, for the most part, these bad things that are going to get you out of control, you know, if you're not dosing yourself every day, you should be all right, and have a look at some other the other good things that you can get in there. You know, people get really stressed out about their life and their health, and you know what's interesting? When you're worrying about your health, it makes you unhealthy.
Yes, stress does a whole number, and it's individual. Your body, each individual body reacts to stress differently. So you got to just take a deep breath, count to 10, and relax. It's okay.
Yeah. Now, thinking about this as well, you're talking about a number of different products with huge quantities of heavy metals. And it reminded me of when I was a phone salesman and I was talking to this toy importer. And I asked him about the lead paint that was put on the toys. You know, it came out of China. It was a big scandal. This was years ago. And he said the Chinese were just getting a bad rap. I said, why is that? He says, because the specifications from the American toy companies specifically said, with lead paint, they were following directions. They weren't trying to find... They weren't trying to find cheaper materials and try and pull one over people or, you know, being a little bit dangerous or anything like that. The American companies who designed the toys wanted lead paint. Now, you have a look at that mentality and you think about this. Maybe if you're part of an unwitting conspiracy to dumb people down, make them sicker, more slovenly, to focus on things that they ought not be focusing on, you know, like over-focus on their own appearance and so on and so forth. Would you be benefiting from all of this? Does it serve an overall agenda? What do you reckon, Suzanne?
Absolutely. Well, if you take fluoride, different genetic makeups like African-American people and people of Hispanic descent, the fluoride bonds to lead molecules and actually enhances the lead poisoning. So absolutely, everything works in tandem. We have a holistic problem, folks. It's not just one problem, one solution. We like to think that. If you see a problem, you come up with a solution and you fix it. And then you realize that it's not fixed. It's because it's encompassing. It's all encompassing. There's a bunch of things going on. One problem may need 20 solutions or 1,000 solutions. Don't just look at one thing and say, I can answer it with this one answer, because then you got to think about all the other factors, like we were talking about with metals exposure. We're exposed to metals in so many different fashions and so many different facets of our daily life that if you stop wearing makeup, it doesn't mean that you're not getting heavy metals poisoning. It just means that you've taken care of one aspect of the poisoning.
One source out of many. I'm thinking about it like a truth of Terminator. You remember the start of Terminator 2 when he's walking into the bar and his little Vision's kind of like scanning everything and identifies each and every motorcycle that's on the rack there, and the make and models of the trucks, the height and vulnerabilities and sizes of all these people that he's walking past. And you think about that, think about like a truth of Terminator, bro. And you just... looking over there at the other side of the street, and it suddenly identifies lead coming out of the petrol tanks of passing cars or something like that, or like detecting excess radiation levels from Fukushima, or detecting excess barium and aluminium and strontium from the chemtrails above you, detecting fluoride residue in the water that's running around the streets and stuff like that. You know, detecting EMF radiation frequencies coming off the power lines that are standing right above you. There would be umpteen different things wrong with this picture.
Yes, yes.
We're bathing in it.
Yes. So we need
this
to.
This is why we need holisticals. This is why we need, as you say, a holistic solution. Because mm-hmm. you can't solve one problem, because it's not just one problem, okay? If you're hungry and thirsty, do you think just eating is going to sate your thirst as well? No, because you've got two problems, you need two solutions. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com.
I got some so-called friends, I'll smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you? Flying a JFK, my heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know
Welcome
that
back.
Customs man.
Oh yeah, well, baby. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that's all about loving people from a distance. Kind of like the medical industry and the psychiatric industry, who dump you out of their facility if their drugs aren't working, with a few drugs, of course, and some snacks, and then pop you on a freaking Greyhound bus to pretty much everywhere in the country. And after a few days, your drugs run out, and then you have a massive, massive come down off of being overly medicated. And then all of a sudden, there's reports in the news of all these crazy people going nuts and doing very, very nasty things. And so it gives an endless justification, and incidentally a source of funding, to the crazy psychiatric industry. Isn't it funny? Now, the craziest yes. among us are the ones who tell everybody else that they're crazy.
Absolutely. That's the article that I wrote this week. Patient dumping. Psychotics released from hospitals with one-way bus ticket. Now, in Nevada, there is the Ryson-Neal Psychiatric Hospital, which is state-funded. And they were found to have over a several year period, I think it was about 5 or 10 years, 1,500 psychiatric patients. Now remember, these people were never meant to be discharged, and because they were not reacting to the treatment properly, the hospital didn't want to lose their federal funding through the state, so they put them on a Greyhound bus. They used to call it Greyhound therapy. Now they just call it patient dumping. And yes, they release them into the public, and who cares?
Now, think about the funding sources here. So it's what, state mandated that they have to have some kind of effect or some kind of positive result from the drugs that they're given the patient, or they get this funding cut back?
Yes. Exactly. They don't want to keep funding a psychiatric hospital that is not doing any good. So
How are any psychiatric hospitals getting funded then?
Some of them are privately owned and funded, and some of them are state and federally funded. So this one, Rice and Neal Psychiatric Hospital, was the one that the Sacramento Bee exposed, and I quoted them in my article. They let out, 1,500 psychiatric patients who were never meant to be see the outside of a psychiatric hospital. These people are very, very sick, and they need to be institutionalized. But because they weren't responding to the psychiatric drugs or the treatment that they were getting at the hospital didn't want to have that, tarnish their record and lose any of their funding from the state of Nevada and the government. So they go ahead and get rid of them, and then it makes their numbers look better. It makes them look like everybody's responding to treatment and they deserve all of the money that they're getting. Meanwhile, like you said, people are being bussed out with a one-way bus ticket. And one gentleman in Sacramento, when he got off the bus, he was so freaked out that he turned himself in. And that's how they found out. In other instances, it could be that one of these people, and they're bussed anywhere, not just Sacramento, but New York, Chicago, anywhere in the country. And it's a one-way bus ticket. They don't care where they end up or what happens to them. It's not like they're sending them to a specific place or like a shelter or anything like that. They're just sending them out.
Do they make sure that they go out of state so that they get turned into a mental institution, it won't be theirs? They'll just think it's from somewhere else.
Yes. Yes, and that's what made Sacramento very, very upset. Now, the governor in Sacramento said that he was most concerned about taxpayer funding dealing with these people coming into the cities and causing problems. But to me, the main problem is that we hear all the time in the news that people do crazy, wacky things. And it could possibly be that one of them or several of them are one of these people who were never meant to be released, and yet they were. And these people are psychotic. They're very, very not okay. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, they're a few slices short of a loaf of bread.
Absolutely.
And here's the other thing. You said 1,500 coming from this one institution.
Yes.
Okay. That would lead me to believe that there'd be similar, comparable numbers to other similar size. It's probably a nationwide, that might be a nationwide thing, right? And you got 1,500 patients. How much money are you getting funded for 1,500 patients for all the meds and everything like that? You're paying your staff. Then you send that patient across to the country and they wind up in another institution who then get extra funding and stuff like that to take care of you for that point when they pop you on a different Greyhound bus and send you back to a different state. And then when you freak out, you go to an institution there and they get the federal or state funding and things like that. Do you see what I'm getting at here? These
Absolutely.
People could be used as a pinball money-making machine being bounced around the country.
Absolutely. And these are real human beings. These are, mental disorder, it's not their fault. And they're being used. They're being used not only for that purpose, but if they wanted to say, hey, let's just release somebody who's absolutely insane into the general public and see what happens. And then, we need the police state. We need all this justification for all of these controls that we have because there are crazies out there. And lock your doors and be very scared and put leashes on your children and be careful because there are crazy people out there. But they're the ones putting the crazy people out there.
Yep. And you see it all the time, don't you? I was just wondering about this too because I think I must have had many conversations with people who are actually scared to kind of go out in public and meet new people because they've seen all these stories on the news that the people are crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Anderson Cooper did a little bit about that a couple of years ago. There was a gentleman who was a paraplegic, And he was released from a Kaiser Permanente hospital because he couldn't pay. He was homeless and broke. And they didn't bring a wheelchair. They dumped him off at a rescue mission, and the rescue mission couldn't take him. So they brought him back, and the morning crew that came in released him back to the same place. Now, he was living in a car, and the CEO of Kaiser Permanente said that he had given them the address of the mission as his home address, and that they were just doing what they were supposed to do. But they were going to reprimand the driver, and none of the other staff members were implicated in this, and that this was not indicative of how they treat their patients. But over and over again, Anderson Cooper brought up instances where this has been happening.
Okay. Well, let's say we've got an epidemic on our hands. Something's driving people psychotic, isn't it? We were talking about heavy metal poisoning in the first segment.
That'll do it.
Now, see, here's an obscure connection, isn't it? You mm-hmm. talk about makeup and heavy metal poisoning, and it can cause mental defectives. And then, of course, once you go into the asylum, as it were, they dump you out because their drugs don't freaking work, and they probably, in all fairness, never have. And then somebody else gets you too. All of a sudden, your life becomes a destroyed, homeless operation. I mean, have you seen what happens to people when they're coming down cold turkey off of huge quantities of psychotropic drugs? It's insane, man. It's like train spotting times 10, and it doesn't just last for a couple of weeks or something while the junk gets out of your system, as with heroin. It lasts for like half a year of just prime suffering, you know, the cold sweats, paranoid episodes and things like that. You can't go off these drugs cold turkey.
Right.
They're freaking dangerous.
And they've done studies since the 60s and 70s. There was a documentary. It's on YouTube. Anyone listening, please go watch this. It's called The Placebo Effect, Cracking the Code. They have found over and over again that placebo works over 67% over the pharmaceutical. So, again, you don't need the pharmaceutical. Plus, if you believe that whatever you've been given or whatever's happened to you will heal you, your brain and your correlating with that belief will heal you just as well as this pharmaceutical, or not even better, because they give you a pharmaceutical and then they have to give you a pharmaceutical to combat the side effects of the first one and then the second one and then the third one, and on we go.
Before you know it, you're on 17 medications a day.
Yes, there was a doctor in that documentary who did surgery for arthritis, and he wanted to see if his surgery for knees was effective. So they did placebo surgery where they went ahead and brought the patient in but didn't actually perform the surgery. They did make incisions and made it look like they had, but they didn't. And then another test group actually had the surgery. And one gentleman who knew, found out 2 years later that he had had the placebo surgery, still was attributing his healing to the surgery and thanking the doctor for everything that he did, and the doctor didn't do anything for him. It was his belief that did it.
I think I have a brilliant business opportunity for any doctor out there. Fake surgery. It actually works to save the patient more than your real surgery. Just charge them the money and they'll get healed. Nobody will be the wiser. They'll have scars and everything. You know, what's he going to do? Reach inside and check?
A few doctors are starting to look into this, and thank God that they are. There was another gentleman. The doctor feels very bad about this. When you watch the documentary, he's just torn about this one patient that he had, because he was convinced that the patient had cancer. And the nurses were convinced, and even the patient was convinced, and they ran tests and treated him for cancer, and he ended up dying of cancer. Now, when they did the autopsy, he had no cancer in his body.
Well, he died of cancer without having cancer?
Yes, because he believed he had cancer and he died of cancer. His body manifested the symptoms of cancer. Yes.
Isn't that interesting? It's amazing what you believe about yourself really becomes yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I was talking to Mark Passio about belief yesterday on my show, because I think that this is really a huge part of the problem, if not the probably the answer to the problem that we're facing, that we believe what we're hearing, and we believe that the world is the way it is. And if we just choose not to comply with the system by not believing, by saying, look, I'm going to have a good day, regardless of whether or not you're ruining my day. I'm not going to let you ruin my day or my life. Consciously choose to do things that make you feel better on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, keeping your spirits up. I think that it would be really hard for the controllers to keep, you know, screwing with our brains if we're not in on it. You know, our compliance helps all of this going, and it's a huge aspect of it. You know, you can't fight with someone who's not fighting back. It gets boring after a while.
Yeah, unless, of course, you're a sadistic person, and you prefer if they don't fight back and you continue to torture them for their entire lives from afar. And that's another part of the belief structure of the elite that I've hearing a lot about, is that they really love making people suffer and live a torturous existence. You know, they're the really sick people who should be getting the greyhound therapy, in my opinion.
Well, they should be getting the other way around, the permanent institutionalization.
Yeah, I mean, who wants congressmen that are whacked out on meds running around the country?
Exactly. We have that now.
Hey, wait. This suddenly explains a lot.
Yes, it does.
Is that not the reason why the country is going down? Something chronic? It's because everybody's medicated, isn't it? What's the percentage of the population is currently on some kind of medication?
I know that the U.S. is the most heavily medicated country in the world.
And it's falling apart at the seams. I think I see a connection here.
Yes, and we're also one of the most unhappiest countries in the world. And I think some of the underdeveloped or third world countries are
Kenya.
Most happiest. Yes.
Yeah, because they run a lot and weave baskets together and sing songs, basically.
Go figure.
And they have the happiest existence on Earth, officially.
So being happy and spending time together and being part of your community and contributing and having a high self-esteem and feeling like you're contributing leads to a productive
community.
Yes.
You know, really, that's all it's about, having a loving family, good friends, and a decent, active life amongst other people that, are, you know, accept you for who you are. Mate, it'll be very difficult to become unhappy, because then your mate will come over and cheer you up, isn't it?
Yes.
We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com in just a few minutes. I hope it doesn't drive you crazy. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It's my final segment with Suzanne Posel today. And how quickly people forget. You ever notice that when a politician does something wrong, people forget all about it? Like they'll do 20, 30 wrong things, and it'll all be a long list of them, a litany, if you will. And then just before they need your vote, they pull out a couple of really nice things to say and do that don't really help anybody anyway. And then people forget about all the bad things and vote for you again, and then get really ticked off after you get elected, of course, that you didn't keep your word. You freaking idiot. Who do you think you're talking about, eh? I mean, come on. Seriously. You think somebody gets into politics because he's an honest man who does right by everybody? Even if he is, is predicated by the fact that there's a system and a structure. You can't be an honest and decent man in the government because the rules aren't set up that way. Honest, decent man sees a problem and goes, you know, okay, I'm going to solve that because it's real nasty and it's bad for the people and what have you. You're doing it in a government and say, well, actually, you've got to do this committee thing first and you've got to read this massive amount of legislation first and you've got to do such and such and blah, 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 to the point where you can't get freaking anything done.
Exactly. And I wrote this article last week, but when I wrote it and I put it up on my website, a lot of the... This is about Rand Paul. The article is called "Surprise: Rand Paul Now Supports Americans with Drone Killing Americans with Drones." And when I posted it, all of the Rand Paul fans came out and started trolling me, and I was blocking and deleting people left and right. It was incredible. I just had to like walk away and say,
"It's like
okay,
Space
fine,
Invaders when that happens, you know?"
Yes, it was.
And just when you think you're really blowing them away, they speed up and change direction.
Absolutely. Now, I want to read to you, in the article is the clip from Fox News where Rand Paul said these things, and I want to read the quote to you. Seriously, folks. Rand Paul said, quote, "I've never argued against technology being used when you have an imminent threat, an active crime going on. If someone comes out of a liquor store with a weapon and $50 in cash, I don't care if a drone kills him or a policeman kills him. But it's different if you want to fly a drone over your hot tub or your backyard just because you want to do surveillance on someone and watch their activities." Okay, so Rand Paul was never against targeted assassinations. He was never against the use of drones to kill Americans. That whole 13-hour filibuster, not only was it a cover for the $1 trillion that the House gave the Department of Defense, the VA, and Planned Parenthood through Obamacare, not only was he covering for that so nobody noticed, but also he never was against the targeted assassinations using drones, using military weaponry to kill Americans on American soil, especially if you rob a liquor store. What he is against is if you're sitting in your hot tub and the police use a drone to spy on you. Well, in the grand scope of things, on one hand, you have targeted assassinations. On the other hand, you have somebody with a drone watching you while you're in your hot tub. I say, who cares? Come on. I'd want to know that when I'm living in my country, the government isn't going to say that I'm a combatant and kill me with a Predator drone. I also can't...
What happened to trials and prosecutions and things of that nature? Aren't you supposed to try and arrest criminals and then bring them to justice instead of just shooting first and asking questions later?
No. We have the NDAA. That's all out. No. Due process is gone. Look at what they did.
My mistake.
Yes. It's okay. That's how we used to be. Now we have the NDAA. And look at what has happened with the Boston bombing. These two gentlemen, and I can go into this on another show because it's really convoluted. But essentially, the cops killed the older brother and then they shot the younger brother in the throat. So he couldn't speak. And by the way, folks, it wasn't the drones and the heat-seeking cameras that they used that found the younger brother in the boat underneath the tarp. It was the owner of the property when they lifted the martial law. The owner, his name is David Hansberry. He came outside to smoke a cigarette and noticed a blood trail and called the cops. So the police state did not solve any problems other than proving that people will give up their rights, knock on the door and demand that you come in and search my house. Sure, officer, yeah, we're afraid because there's a killer out in the loose. And Rand Paul never even cared about whether or not the government or the police state, the local police officers, your governor, doesn't care whether or not they use drones to kill you. What he's concerned about is if somebody's watching you when they shouldn't be watching you, if there's a peeping Tom, which happens to be the local police department.
Okay. And does he know about the Pentagon being caught with umpteen millions of pornographic images of children and stuff like that?
I don't know if he does, but... It's huge for people to understand that when somebody says, I'm against drones, don't just automatically assume that what you understand them to be saying is what they're actually saying. You have to listen to what they're actually saying. And he had, the next day Rand Paul did damage control. He had Judge Andrew Napolitano come out and say he never wavered on his stance against drones. And he put a disclaimer up on his website for the senator of Kentucky, saying that he still believes in what he filibustered against, and he hasn't changed his stance on drones. So when I was reading that, I was thinking, okay, well then everybody misunderstood you. You were not talking about targeted assassinations, which is what we were talking about. You were talking about surveillance. But you're all for it. Hey, look, a liquor store weapon, $50 in cash. What if the owner of the liquor store subdued the attacker, grabbed his gun and the money that he had in his hand, and as the police come up to the scene, he runs out the door with the gun in his hand and the money and says, I got him subdued. And the police officers misinterpret the owner as the guy, the perpetrator, and shoot him or drone him. Is that okay? Apparently it is.
And nothing's... Have you ever heard of the term an open and shut case?
Yes.
It would create a lot of those if the person was in a casket, don't you think? That's an open and shut case.
Sure. Look at the two suspects in the Boston bombing. They're suspects. You're supposed to be a suspect, and then you're supposed to be arrested, and then you're supposed to be... charged with a crime and then convicted, and then you receive the punishment. Not the other way around. You don't receive the punishment as you're a suspect. We don't know. When we're in the suspect phase, we don't know what's going on. We're just trying to take a hold of or subdue whoever we think is causing the problem, and we'll figure it out later. We don't kill that person and then try to reverse engineer it. And in the clip, when you listen to this, the moderator for Fox News, I was surprised because he became very uncomfortable. Rand Paul said things like, well, jury trials mess up all the time and they fake evidence all the time. Well, here I am thinking about, okay, I know that the drones and the heat-seeking cameras that were used that they claim found the younger brother in the boat were not what actually found him, what not tipped him off. It was the owner of the property smoking a cigarette. So how do I know that they didn't fake that? Rand Paul admits now, that they fake evidence all the time.
So let me get this straight. In America, your legal choices are now either a jury, a judge, or an executioner. So you've got a corrupt judge, an inept jury, and a trigger-happy executioner waiting in the wings. Which way do you want to go?
Yes, and I guess it all depends on who gets to you first.
Yeah. Drones are pretty quick. They're a lot faster than judges and bailiffs, as far as I've seen.
Yeah, just ask anybody in Pakistan or in India or any of the other countries. We're killing people all day, every day. Hundreds of people, including women and children.
Now, but maybe this is legal under the Constitution because it allows people speedy access to justice. Indiscriminate explosive justice.
Now our legal system is set up with checks and balances so that we don't convict the wrong person. They are allowed to face their accuser. They're allowed to face the evidence against them and rebut or defend themselves. That's why they're called a defendant and a prosecutor.
Well, it's a little bit harder to defend yourself if you're dead than you're a defendant.
Absolutely. And once you're dead, they can say whatever they want about you and you can't say anything against them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's one bit of eyewitness testimony, which is not going to be heard about, is there?
Now, the eyewitnesses to when the younger brother was found, they were cheering. The people in the neighborhood who were there, they were cheering. And at a baseball game, they were chanting USA, USA, like little zombies, you know, no regard for the process of law or anything. We don't know what happened. We only know the official story, which changes depending on which newspaper or mainstream that you're listening to.
Allegedly, they had to shut down a number of press conferences because the first questions the journalists were asking was, why was there a drill at the exact same time that this bomb went off? And you told us that you were going to be testing an explosive device at the end of the marathon, and it was just a drill over the loudspeakers. No more questions. Get out of here. Apparently, it happened a number of times. You know, everyone is like, "Come on, it's like the most major news story to happen since sliced bread." And no, inappropriate questioning. Yeah, just
that's America.
Show you. You've got to come up with the right questions. I mean, questions that'll actually foretell some kind of a truth about the instance. I mean, you're just not a journalist, bro. Go home. All right. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.